I'd like you to turn this morning, please, to Exodus chapter 3. And I'd like to preach a third message on the topic, Lessons from the Journey. Exodus chapter 3. All of us are on a journey. We've heard that the last couple of weeks. That journey may look different to each of you and your situations, but all of us are on a journey. The journey of following the Lord Jesus Christ, the journey of our family, the journey of marriage, the journey of the single life, whatever that journey might be, we're on one. And I think the Moses journey is full of lessons that we can use as we journey onward. Some of us are getting closer to the end of the journey down here. I won't mention any names, but his initials are... What is his initials? Well, he turned 71 today. I think his initials are Jim Golzo, I think. I don't know what his full name is, but be sure and tell Jim happy birthday today, okay? If he's still here after he heard that. No matter where you're at in your journey, you may just be starting out. The one thing it's important for us to know is that if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got someone on that journey with you. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, and notice the progression here, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have seen them. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I have heard them. For I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. I've seen, I've heard, I know. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of bondage. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, And this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, Mount Horeb, where the burning bush was burning. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am who I am was a statement to Moses. I am was the name that he was to give the children of Israel. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my name forever. How many know we are part of the forever? How long is forever? It's forever. It didn't end at the turn of the century. It didn't end at the cross, or the resurrection. It continues on to today. Amen? We're part of forever. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to how many generations? All generations. Are we part of that? Amen. So the lessons from this part of the Moses journey is as much for us as for anyone, and will be for our children and our children's children, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call, as Peter testified to in Acts chapter 2. Lessons from the journey. When I look back on Cheryl and I's journey, as I've mentioned every week for this last couple of weeks, especially doing a series like this, you do a lot of thinking back and remembering things that have occurred and situations you've gone through. Maybe you've done the same thing. And I've said this over and over again, that looking back on our journey, it hasn't always been a pleasant journey, but it has been a wonderful journey, and the good times far exceeded the bad times. Amen? Because God was with us. God was with us. It just seems like yesterday that we were just beginning. We were just starting. It just seems like yesterday that we drove that U-Haul trailer from Coos Bay, Oregon, into the grounds of what is a landmark church. Before this building was here, before anything was around us, when it seemed like this was a beautiful little village that we were moving to. Two lanes in front and ditches and a little building. Just seems like yesterday when I was at the office that first night or that second night and went to see who was at the front door of the church. And when I opened it, a .357 Magnum was pointed right at me. And the police officer behind the gun said, put your hands up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, I drove an old Lincoln Continental I had bought from my superintendent. It had really no wiring in the dash. It looked a lot fancier than it was. It had like 300,000 miles on it. And it had Oregon plates. And the police officer, after he discovered that I had the keys to the building and apologized and put his gun away, he said, we don't have many Lincoln Continentals in Battleground. So we had to check it out, Pastor. So, welcome, my name is, and he introduced himself, glad to have you in Battleground. I said, it's good to know I'm protected. Praise the Lord. Seems like just yesterday that we came here to pastor, and what a great journey it's been. But one of the things that I look back on is the times that we have spent with the Lord, times that have been special and to us when we have just knelt before the Lord and prayed, whether in the small building across the parking lot that we may not have very long, who knows, depending on the road expansions in our city, to those times in this building when we were building it, times that we would just get alone and pray and ask God to be with us and to help us and to give us direction. The first lesson from this journey that I just read goes from verse 1 to verse 6. It is the experience of Moses when he sees the burning bush. And the angel of the Lord appears in that bush first to get Moses' attention, and then God himself speaks out of the bush. But it's the burning bush that draws Moses' attention, and he goes up to see this great sight and to see why the bush is not burning. And it's at that moment that we have those famous words, "Take off your shoes from your feet, for the ground wherein you are standing is holy ground." It's holy ground. I remember a time when we were preaching from this passage in the small building, and the power of the Holy Spirit was so powerful, it was so thick that you could almost feel literally the presence of the Lord. And as we got to this section of taking off our shoes, I didn't have to ask the congregation to do it. I noticed people slipping off their shoes. I don't expect you to do it now. But I saw people slipping off their shoes in the sanctuary because of the presence of God was so powerful. I even took mine off because I felt like we were standing at a burning bush. That doesn't happen too often, but it happened once, and it was a very special, precious moment when we met with God that Sunday morning. Amen. The first lesson of the Moses journey this morning is cherish the times you have with the Lord, for they are holy ground moments. Cherish the times that you have with the Lord. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about times when you have just been with the Lord, when you have spent time in prayer, when you've spent time in worship and adoration, whether together publicly or whether you have been privately in your prayer closet, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there may not be a burning bush there, but the presence of God is there, and you know God is there, and you are humbled by His presence. It's a cherished moment. Amen. What a precious moment that is. Pastor Wayne is here. Wayne, Jenny, it's good to see you, Pastor. God bless you, both of you. I know you can say amen to what I'm saying. Amen. In all the years that you folks have pastored, you've had those moments. And so you've had those moments. And if you haven't, look forward to those moments. But those moments we need to cherish. Because one thing we know on this journey that we're on, and that is that things can get pretty busy and pretty hectic. Amen? Things can get pretty hectic and pretty busy. If you are on the journey of raising children or grandchildren, you know how busy that can be. And you cherish the times when you can say goodnight to those little ones and tuck them in, and you finally hear them all with their little snores, and you know that they are safely tucked away, and finally you can sit down and put your feet up and have a few moments, right? How many know those are special moments with you? Just if you're a single parent, or if you're married with you and your spouse, but how many know that's also a time that you can just spend with the Lord? Amen? And yet those little ones are so precious. How precious it is to have moments with them. I think I mentioned this the other day. I mentioned about being at camp and having a challenge. And little Logan, is Logan 7, sweetie? 8 Wednesday, all right. And how he prayed for Grandpa. And I found the leak. I found the problem. Well, the other day, Grandma was having a real bad back situation. And she was texting, and Sharina said, "Well, Logan is praying for you." And it was amazing how the relief came, that the Lord just touched her in a special way. How many know that even kids can have special moments with the Lord, right? So cherish the times you have with the Lord. I'm praying that our prayer and worship night, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, will be a special time with the Lord and with God's family. I'm hoping this won't be the last. It'll be one of several times when we gather together for the express purpose of just seeking the face of the Lord, of just praying together and praying individually, praying corporately and worshiping, just spending a little under an hour together calling on the Lord. I believe those are very, very special and precious times. And there's just something special about hearing the voice of God speak to us. God spoke to Moses. He said in verse 4, he called him by name and said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And you know, I think those are sweet words to the Lord God when he hears his people say, "Here I am." And I think God would rather hear that, "Here I am," rather than hear it like a Jonah where he says, "Here I am." As he's leaving on the boat for Tarshish. You know the story, amen? God calls him to one place, he goes in the opposite direction. How precious it is when God can hear us say, "Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, speak to me. Here I am, Lord, touch me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am after having a busy day raising the children. Here I am having a busy day at work. Here I am, Lord, exhausted after whatever it is I'm doing, spending a little time with you. Here I am, Lord, speak to me." And to hear the Lord call your name and to give you a promise from his word, or looking up a passage, looking up a Bible verse, and it jumps off the page and you go, "Wow, that's for me." Those are precious times on the journey, and we need to cherish those times. Amen? We need to cherish those times. And it doesn't happen all the time. If I could remind you this morning that Moses only had a burning bush experience one time. Only one time. Never again do we see the burning bush, the bush burning. We don't see it again. But one time was enough to turn Moses on his heels and send him in the direction that God wanted. Now, he would have other precious times with the Lord. He would have times when God would deal with him. He would have times when God would bless him. He would have times when God would instruct him. And he would have times when God was done with him on this earth, and he would take him to paradise. But he would only have one burning bush experience. And so we can't expect that every time we go to prayer, every time we go to meet with God, that it'll be a burning bush kind of thing. It won't. Because eventually you'd get tired of burning bushes. Amen? Amen? And so cherish the times when you find that you have touched God in a special way and God has touched you. And then the other times when maybe it's not a burning bush experience, cherish those times as well, because they're important. Just the methodical spending time with the Lord. This last week I was in business meetings in Southern California with my superintendent duties, and Cheryl and I ended up with a couple extra days. And so I invested those days, invested them with her. We could have came home early, but I chose rather to ask Sally to extend our visit. And so she did that for us. And we had just a couple days together. And we just spent the time walking around, enjoying the sights, being together. And more than once she said, "It's just nice being the two of us, just the two of us." And it was. It was a very, very special time. It's really neat to walk in a crowded place holding hands and young folks looking at us like you're weird because you're old. How many know you never get too old to hold hands? Amen. Amen? Keep holding hands. Those are special times. Those are precious moments. And so on your journey, cherish the times you have with the Lord, because they are holy ground moments. I won't take the time to describe a few holy ground moments that I have had, but they are precious, and we need to cherish them. The second lesson, verses 7 through 12 of the Moses journey, is this lesson. The task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. The task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. God said, "Moses, I have seen, I have heard, I know, I have come down to bring them up. I am aware of what's happening in Egypt, and I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to use you to do it. You're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You're going to bring them out to a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to be the one to lead the way. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh and to the children of Israel. And then in verse 11, Moses says, "Oh, but God, who am I that I should go?" How often have we have thought those words, "Who am I that I should do this? Who am I that I should do this?" I know through the years of pastoring, we have asked people, myriads of people, usually it's Cheryl that got that assignment. I wasn't brave enough. I gave her the assignment of approaching people to teach Sunday school classes and work in the nursery. And then we hired Sally and gave her that job because she's tough. But how many times have we asked someone, "Would you teach the junior girls class?" And watch the person faint before her. And to hear them say, "Who am I to do that? Who am I?" But see, Cheryl has this keen insight into people. And usually when there's an opening or there's a need, I'll say, "Sweetheart, you get a sense of who might feel this." And she says, "You know, I've been praying about that. And I think so-and-so might just be the one." And there's been a few times I've gone, "Oh, boy, are you sure? That wouldn't be my choice." Now, I'm not going to say who that is, but I'm going to say, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah, I just feel this is the one." And so we've approached that person, and usually they go, "Who, me? Who am I that I should work in the nursery? Who am I that I should take on the little children? Who am I?" And they end up being a teacher for years because they fell in love with it. It was their calling. It was their ministry. And you try to take them out and boy, you've got a battle on your hands because it is exactly who God wanted to do it. You see, maybe we all start with the "who am I" thing. And maybe you're here today and God is tapping you on the shoulder. And he's saying, "I want you to volunteer. I want you to go to Sally and volunteer and say, 'Please, please, please, can I work in the nursery?'" And watch Sally faint before your eyes. Maybe God's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I want you to volunteer to help with the junior high group or to help with the security or to help with parking or to help here or there. Maybe God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "I want you to train for ministry and go to the mission field or pastor a church." And you go, "Who am I that I should do?" Listen, if God calls, he equips and he prepares and he's got a plan. And it may seem hard, but it won't be impossible. Amen. It won't be impossible. He says, "Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Who am I, Lord?" We all probably would have said the same thing. How am I going to do it? Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, ruling a kingdom, the most powerful kingdom in the world. And the children of Israel, they're not known for their cooperation. "I can't do this. I can't do this." Years ago, God spoke to a woman, I won't mention her name out of the privacy of the event, but God spoke to a woman in our organization, not in our church, but in our southern district, and he said, "I want you to go to Japan and be a missionary." And she said, "Lord, who am I? I'm not married." Single women missionaries in that day was really a rarity. I'm glad that it's not that way anymore. She said, "Who am I that I..." And she said, "Surely you're talking about someone else. Or Lord, I'll go when you give me a husband." And the Lord said, "No, I want you to go as a single woman to Japan and be a missionary." And she wrestled with that and wrestled with that. And finally she said, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I will do. I will go. But this seems like an impossible task. Japan is notorious for being one of the hardest mission fields in the world. Just because of the culture. If you have a church there of 20 or 30, that's like a mega church, you know, in our culture. English church." So she said yes. So she approached our board of directors and they were really hesitant. They were very hesitant. They thought, what are the dangers? etc. But eventually, she was ordained to go. Our organization has ordained women from its foundation in 1934 because we see the value of women in ministry. So they ordained her to go to Japan, and she went as a single woman. And I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you this. She was so well accepted. She won people to the Lord. She established a foothold there in Japan. And when God finally released her after many years there, she came back. And when she came back, guess what? She got married. There was someone waiting for her, and she got married. But what she did in Japan for our organization set the stage for our missionaries who are there now doing a wonderful work for the Lord Jesus Christ. When God gives you a task, it may be hard, but it will not be impossible. Amen? It will not be impossible. And then lastly, verses 13 through 15. Moses said, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel." Now, you would think by that beginning that Moses has got to the place where he's saying, "Okay, I'll go." But we're not going to go there. But chapter 4, read chapter 4, because chapter 4 is Moses' excuses why he still shouldn't go. You know, the story continues. "I can't speak well. You need to send somebody else. You know, Aaron's a lot better than I am." We've heard all the excuses, folks. "I can't teach that class. I'm not qualified. I don't know the Bible well enough. I hate kids." Look, you've been here 6 months. You passed the background check. You're qualified. One of the pastors who preceded me in Myrtle Point years ago, when he went to Myrtle Point to pastor, he said, "God, I will go there and I will pastor, but do not give me children. I don't like them. Give me adults." You know what God did? He had a revival of children. He had so many children packed every room in the church, he ended up teaching junior boys in his station wagon. He stuffed like a dozen junior boys in his station wagon, teaching them a class. Can you imagine the horrors and the smells of that? God has a way of saying, "Don't tell me you won't." Amen? God has a way. And Moses gives all these excuses, and finally God makes some conditions okay, but he will send Moses. But let me get back to finish the message. So he said, "All right, Lord, if I'm going to go, then I'm going to need to know the answer to this question. Who are you? Who are you? They're going to ask me who sent me. I need some credentials that I can offer them." And God says to them, he said to Moses, verse 14, "I am who I am." Now, as I said in the beginning, that's a statement for Moses' sake. His name is I Am, verse 14, the end of it. "I Am has sent me to you." That's what you tell them. But I'm telling you, I am who I am. Now that's an odd translation in our English. What does that mean? I am who I am. And I've seen it interpreted in various ways, and some of you may be Googling it right now to figure out the correct whatever. But in essence, what it means is, in my opinion, the Hebrew of that is, "I am whatever you'll need for the job. I am. That's who I am to you. You're going to need a lot of things, and I am who I am. I am is my name, and I am that to you. So whatever it is you need, you're going to have it for the job that I've called you to do. If I've called you to be married, you'll have every tool you need to make that work." Amen? To make that work. He did it for me, a young boy with two brothers, raised by a single mom who married several times. But in my heart of hearts, I wanted one wife for my life. And he gave me the tools to be able to do it. I didn't have that in myself. And in Cheryl's case, a mom and dad who were married for years and years and years. Don't tell me you can't do it. Just say, God, give me the tools I need to make it happen. Amen? And God said, I'm going to give you my name. So Moses, I will be whatever it is you need. You need courage, you need strength, you need encouragement, fortitude, whatever it is you need, I am that I am. And just count that. And folks, whatever you need for the assignment God's given you, He'll give you what you need. But He won't give it to you till you need it. Amen? Now, I was a Boy Scout, and I know what it means to be prepared. And I like to make sure I have everything needed. When I used to hunt, I don't hunt anymore. I turned that over to Eddie. But when I used to hunt, I would pack everything I knew I needed. Matter of fact, they teased me in Coos Bay. They teased me because I took every snack you could imagine. Because my thought was, if I am stranded out here by myself and I've got to live here for a month, I want to survive. Right? So I was prepared, and they used to call it Staten Snack Shop. They said, if you get lost, just find a road, set up a shop, and sell that stuff. Okay? So be prepared. But listen, God oftentimes won't give you what you need until you need it. But when you need it, He will give it to you. Amen? That's why we call it a walk of faith. So He said, I am who I am. John 8:58. Interesting that Jesus would make this statement. John 8:58. Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, what? I am. Before Abraham was, I am. That verse connects Jesus to the God of the burning bush. Jesus was very God. He is the I am, as well as God being the I am. Jesus said, before Abraham even existed, I am. I am the I am, if you will. I am God. Just like my Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. I am who I am. You know the seven great I ams. In John 10, 7 and 11, Jesus said, I am the door for the sheep. And then He said, not only that, but I am the good shepherd of the sheep. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Those are the seven great I ams of Jesus. He said, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. And if you study that sense of I am, there's even more than seven. It's, in other words, Jesus said, I am whatever it is you need. If you need a doorway to salvation, I am the door. If you need a shepherd, I'm the shepherd. If you need life, I'm the resurrection of life. If you're hungry, I am the bread of life. If you're thirsty, I'm the water of life. If you are lost, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you're a Christian, I am the true vine. I'm everything that you need. And God said, Moses, just never let the people forget. It's the great I am that's bringing them out. And I will be everything that they need on that journey. I'll be the water from the rock. I'll be the manna from heaven. I'll be the quail sent to feed them. I'll be the cloud by day and the fire by night. I am that I am. I am everything you need for the journey. And my friends, this morning, Jesus is everything you and I need for the journey. Amen. 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 No matter what it is that we have need of, Jesus is the answer for that. Let's stand together, please. Let's stand together. Father, thank You this morning for the Moses journey and the lessons that we learn from it and glean from it. Thank You, Lord, that we can have experiences and encounters with You, that God, You can speak to us and it can be a holy ground moment. Let us cherish those times. Let us seek those times. Let us find those times. Father God, thank You, Lord, that whatever task it is that You've given us, it may be hard, it will be hard, but it will not be impossible because You don't even know the definition of that word. Hallelujah. With man, nothing is possible, but You said with God, all things are possible to them that believe. And finally, Lord, help us to remember the name that we stand in, the great I am, the I am that I am, everything that we need. And right now, Lord, whatever it is that the people need in their marriage, in their Christian walk, in the life of a single individual, in a call to ministry, Lord, in the situations they're facing, help them to know that the I Am is there. The I Am, the great I Am, Jesus is there to help them and to give them strength and to give them courage and to help them through whatever it is they're going through, Lord. Thank you for the lessons of the journey. Thank you, Lord, that we're writing our own story with your help, Lord, as we walk through this life with Jesus. We give you thanks and praise in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him. Let's thank the I Am. Amen. 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 God bless you. Go with the blessing of the Lord today. Thank you for being in the service. We'll see you next Sunday, if not before. Have a wonderful day. Greet someone on your way out. God bless you.